Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Sex Show. Yes, tonight, I'm kind of calm, trying to be in the mood. You know, when you want to have sex, you have to start with the romancing, the kissing, the touching. So I'm trying to get into the mood so I can get wet and then I can start a threesome. Tonight, like I do every night, is going to be a threesome. So tonight's threesome has to do with me, her, and him. You know how we do it. Anyway, welcome to The Sex Show. And tonight we're going to be talking about how to be sexually intentional in 2020. What does that really mean, being sexually intentional? It's not just to have sex. To enter, finger, put, go, ejaculate, come, orgasm, squirt. Why do I have to be intentional? What does this mean? What is it about being intentional? Yeah, loads of questions needs loads of answers, right? Not to worry, that's why you have Soul Spice here. Yes, my name is Soul Spice, the sex goddess. I'm a life and sex coach. And tonight, I'm going to be taking you through a journey of real pleasure. Remember, on The Sex Show, all we do is bring your fantasy to reality. So tonight will help you analyze, understand, get into the mood, give you the pleasure for you to know that, hey, it's not just about the sex, but how you feel deep down and how you intentional have sex. Okay, so please do follow me at Sex Talk with Soul Spice or at Sex Toys with Soul Spice. Call your friends, your family, your pastor. I always say that. Your imam, your sister, your brother, your side chick, your side guy, your boyfriend, your father, your mother, and tell them that Soul Spice is here again. And hey, it's time for another threesome tonight. Okay, so before I also go, please do follow us at This Is Pop Central, the only TV that pops sex to your TV screen. We don't joke about it, right? You know, we say the way it is. And also, please tell your friends, for those who don't have DSTV, you can watch us live on Popping at Pop Central. That's our app, yes. Go ahead, download it, and watch us live as we get down tonight. Multiple orgasm, multiple squirting, you don't want to miss it. So I'm going to be going on a break, and when I come back, I'm going to be bringing in my partners as we start to get down tonight. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to The Sex Show. Yes, in case you're just joining, this is The Sex Show, and all I do is talk about sex, live for sex. I have sex anytime I want. Is that not why I'm married? I don't know. A lot of people do different things. People are born for different things. Some people go after career. I almost forget. I go after freak. Nothing else. No story. I have no regrets. I'm proud of it. You know, we are buffing it. I don't know about you, but hey, tonight we're talking about how to be sexually intentional in 2020. Yes, I heard about the word intentionality. No, not like I heard, but I understood the word intentionality 2 years ago. And hey, forget, I've been getting down. No, sorry. I've been fucking like no man's business. So tonight I've got to bring some of my partners. Maybe not in the sex part. Maybe not in the fucking part, but hey, they know their onions. They have been into it. They've been doing it for years. They have no secrets. So I'm going to ask them how they get down, how they do it. But tonight, get ready because we're going to be having a threesome. And hey, hope you don't have sex during the show. Like I always say, no sex during the show till I am done, please, so that you can listen and learn everything we have to say. When we are done, you know, unhook and get down. Anyway, she's pretty. She's hot. She's a mother. She's a wife. She's... okay, there's something, Iyawo Yale, the housewife and the side chick. So I'm the side chick, she's the housewife, yes. She's the Yale, I'm the Yawo. Or Iyawo Yale, anyone, we shall understand ourselves.
And that's you.
See, she's here with me. Her name, I call her Secret Place Wife. Yeah. Welcome to The Sex Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to my threesome class.
Yeah.
It's time for threesome. Okay, she's a marriage coach, and that's why I had to bring her here, because hey, you know me, it's all about sex, but I needed someone like her to help the married ones understand what I do and how I enjoy what I do. Do you understand? Anyway, he's also handsome, but he won't have me as a girlfriend. He won't date me. He won't do anything with me. He won't even have me as a side chick. But hey, it's fine. One day, I will change that mindset of a woman can't marry two men with me. I want to try it. You know how it went. His name is TJ Baba. Yes, Claudia. I love the way G Day. That's sexy too. That's sexy baritone voice. TJ Babajide, he's a marriage coach. No, he's a relationship coach.
A life and relationship.
Life and relationship coach. Yes.
Good to be here.
Slash sex coach. Well, welcome to the section.
Well, that's as you want to call it tonight. Maybe you want to borrow me into your that space.
You know, it's a threesome now. We are here for sex. Are you here for something else?
Yeah.
Threesome. Are you not here for sex?
No, I'm not here for sex.
It depends on the kind of sex. Me, I'm here for sex.
Wait.
At threesome, not me, you and her.
In threesome. Your mind.
We started the romance.
We travel.
When we get to the mid part, now we know how to undress. Don't worry. You will see everything. The orgasm. You will see.
I'm just a small boy.
A small boy. I love small boys. You know what they say. Small boys are good. Yeah, it's good. Anyway, so let's talk about the topic of the being sexually intentional. So many goals. New Year resolution. I want my marriage to change. I want to be a better wife. Me too. I'm trying to be a better wife. Seriously.
Men?
Normal, but I'm trying to be a better wife. Yeah. You know, so many goals. But people forget to have sexual goals. They plan marriage, children, career, you know, finance, whatever. We hardly have sexual goals. Yet, everyone wants a better marriage. Everyone wants better sexual life. But they forget that it's very, very important to have a separate plan for sex aside for being a wife or being married. Why do we have this problem?
Well, in my opinion, I think that most people don't even set marriage goals, really. Marriage is that aspect of our life that we just do and expect that. It's marriage. I love you. You should be the most important person in my life. The one who does no wrong, who cannot even hurt me at all. So we're good. So we set business goals, life goals, and personal goals, really. But marriage is that one thing that, you know, it's just us. We're good. So if people don't set marriage goals, how do they want to set sexual goals? Now, people know they want to work on their marriage.
Yeah.
But that word that you said, intentionality, is lacking. So people don't think that working on your marriage means that you have to sit down, you have to figure out what is not working, what is working. So when you find couples who are hardly talking, how do they begin to sit down to set goals? So the issue is that people are not building the sort of relationship where they can sit down together and say, what do we want to do? Even the sex they're having is almost like, let's not talk about it. We're having sex, but, you know, let's just pretend as if it's not happening. You know, so people are not talking about their sex life. People are having sex. They can't say, I don't like this. Do it this way. This was good. This was bad. How do they want to sit down and say, this is our sex goal for the year? You know, so there's not that open communication enough to make that topic something that can be on the table.
So,
for me, I think we're largely hypocritical of the society. And we don't like to talk about the things we think about.
Please say that word again.
We don't like to talk about the things that we think about.
Wow.
And as a life coach and relationship coach, I like to help people visit the area of their lives they don't like to visit. And part of those areas are the sex area. An average person, like you said, once they go to home, but they don't understand the matrix that needs to be on the table for a home to be great. You know, because Africa is largely egocentric. And there's always the banter between the goal and the ego. When the ego is bigger than the goal, sex will not be a front runner. Because I've heard couples say things like, I've tried all I can, I'm just tired, I'm not going to try anything again. It's because your ego is bigger than the goal. If your goal is to have a marriage that has lovely sex, marriage that has good friction, that's not just about being civic. You know, because sometimes, because we want peace, we become civic. We'll be very civil, rather. We become very civil. I'll just keep quiet. You do your own thing, you know. But because when we get civil, we deny ourselves the romance, the vulnerability, and all of that is packed under ego. So I say to couples, if your ego is bigger than your goal, your sex will be sabotaged. If your goal is bigger than your ego, you will consistently keep making effort till you can have an amazing sex life.
Wow. Okay, that's deep. So let's talk about intentionality. What exactly does this word mean? Because seriously, I used to hear the word. So be intentional. But then I didn't understand the meaning of the word. I didn't know what it means to use that word in one's life until I became a coach. Yeah. So I also want to be that we have a whole lot of people out there who are married. They believe in marriage. They believe, okay, it will, you know, things will change. It cannot be like this forever. Maybe one day he will come back home. Maybe. How do you start to use that word intentionality in one's life?
I mean, firstly, I think you first have to embrace it. You have to, like you said, the goal. Most times we're always trying to fit our personalities into the marriage. I mean, the marriage into our personalities. So marriage is like this. It's like this table. Mm. It's there. It has boxes. It's a thing. Mm. You know, so I'm here now. This has a mold and I want to fit this into my mold. Johnson. I'm the one that should enter the mold. Marriage is already cast. I'm the one that should become malleable. I'm the one that should become flexible, you know, to be able to understand this thing and to fit into it. So with the word intentionality, you first have to be able to understand that it's about purpose. It's about knowing exactly what you're doing. Many people in them, I always say to people, there's a difference between hard work and intentional work. Many people in marriage today are working hard, you know, like you said, keeping the peace. You know, but then starting a war inside. Mm. I don't want to fight. I don't want anything that will cause trouble. I don't want, you know, so they're not talking. They're not engaging their spouse. I don't want to bruise his ego.
True.
So you had sex and it wasn't so good. You don't want to talk. Now you're not bruising his ego, but the day he finds out or she finds out that you've been having whack sex and you've been keeping it to yourself, he's going to still be bruised.
Yeah.
So the issue now is not about bruising it. So if you want to be intentional, you now have to learn how to communicate in a way that is empathic, that is, you know, respectful, that is loving, you know, and still addresses the matter. So intentional is about seeking purpose and making sure that the relationship is secure, is saved. Most times when we're trying to figure out issues in our marriage, we sort of leave the marriage and say, wait, first, let's fix this issue. So we're not even thinking about how to secure this relationship in a way that this issue now, when it's resolved, we have a relationship to come back to.
Yeah.
So we fix the issue and we talk about it, but everybody goes and there's now this awkwardness. There's no longer a relationship to come back to.
Mm.
So if you are going to start being intentional about your relationship, you have to understand that it's about purpose. It's about sticking to the goal. Understanding that your marriage is your marriage. It either works or it works.
Mm.
Your sex life is your sex life. It's either beautiful or it's beautiful. It must be great.
Ah, must get that orgasm.
You know, so that's all you are giving to. That's what you want. So there's no dilly-dallying, second options, and all of those things. Then you begin to do the right things that feed into the goal that you... So it's really about doing things on purpose. That's the key word. Doing things on purpose. So you can be working on your marriage, can be quiet. But that's quiet. Is that what really should be happening at the moment? So you've just done something and I should speak up. But I'm not speaking of because I don't want us to fight. Is that what the marriage needs?
Mm.
So intentionality is about doing things on purpose for the good of your relationship and your sex life.
Okay, so how do you know how to do it on purpose? Because you've talked about purpose. Now, a lot of people are wondering, okay, on purpose, do it on purpose. How do I know when to do it? Because sometimes you have issues, you just don't want to talk. Let there be peace. Mm. At least we just had a fight. Let's not fight again. So how do you start to do it on purpose?
Okay, so to... Just the same way you sit down to say you want to set career goals, you want to set business goals. Really, if we're very realistic and we're very intentional, it's necessary for a couple to also sit down to say they should have a sex goal. But I can tell you for free that more than 70% of marriages don't have sex goals. Because it looks like a byproduct. It looks like that thing that we do when we're not so stressed. It looks like one of the flings. It looks like, you know, so and because of that, there's the 12, you know, vital area of every human being. when we get to marriage and sexuality, I see how people, you know, just shrink, how they you know, shy away from the fact that they should set sex goals. They feel, no, let's leave. It's usually the last that they want to talk about because, and you see, anything that you don't put a priority to, you can never be intentional about it. So it starts with priorities. So once something is not your priority, okay, I'm busy. Until, and I like to use this illustration. You say you are busy. Go to the hospital. I'm so busy, I can't do checkup. The day you faint in the hospital, I mean, at work, and they take you to the hospital, that's the day you ask for vacation from work because something had prompted what you put at the back burner to be in the front burner. So for you, anyone to be intentional about sex, they have to first see sex as a priority. If it's not a priority, you will always have an excuse why it won't happen. Especially for the hustling and bustling of Lagos. You come, you leave your work, leave the house 5:30, you're back 10:30. That one is another, you know, symposium discussion. You know, but with the little energy that is there, like something you said on one of your pages, sex starts in the kitchen, sex starts in the morning. Sex doesn't start when you're home. Sex starts when... I mean, sending very wonderful texts like, I should be working, but man, you're just fingering my brain, you know?
Hold it there. I like that one. You're just fingering my brain.
Small boy.
I don't know where you are. But dear husband, if you're watching, you're fingering my brain. Does that make any sense to you? Don't worry. We know how to do it. So, on this, I'm going to be taking a break. And when we come back, we will understand what it means to finger the brain, how we are going to be fingering, where we are going to be fingering, and the location at which the finger would be when it's time to finger. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to The Sex Show. Yes, we went on break. And hey, I've been learning all about the fingering. You know, I think BC had an orgasm whilst we were on break. No way, she's trying to pretend. She see the she's trying to cover up. So you don't see the weapon. But don't worry. I know what happened when we were on break. You also know what happened. You know what it means to finger the brain. But hey, we are back to finger every part of, not just your brain. Up, middle, down, up, whichever one. So we're talking about, tonight we are still talking about how to be sexually intentional. And one thing I learned was, we don't like to talk about what we think about. That word means a whole lot. Because truly, whether we like it or not, a lot of us think about sex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More than anything.
Yeah.
Maybe not you. But I do. I do. 24/7. I'm sorry. There is no day I don't think about sex. There's no hour or job. If I don't think about sex, then that means I'm lifeless. For as long as I live, sex is it. Okay. So, BC, do you think about sex every time?
And marriage.
No, I said we are all married.
Yes.
After we having things up, you had an orgasm. They fingered your brain now.
It's priority. You know, he said that if it's not priority, you cannot.
So you think about sex every time.
It's priority.
Yeah. No, you have not answered my question.
It's priority.
Do you think about sex every time? Yes or no? No, priority is not the answer. Yes or she's trying to do Christianity.
You know, you are a senior.
Yes or no? No, our wife
is washing. Sex enough.
Our wife is washing. So we have agreed.
Enough. I think about sex enough.
Which one is enough? Yes or no?
Okay, yes.
That
you said every time.
That's every time. We know you. We know you as if you don't do. You think about sex every time, don't you?
Not every time. I have other things I think about.
Okay, you pay bills, you understand?
I don't pay bills.
Which bills do you pay? They pay you the bills that you pay. We know how it goes. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about, let's still go down to being intentional. Now, there's this thing of, you said something, communicate. You don't enjoy sex, say it. How do you, where do you even find the courage to talk about it? Like, I don't enjoy it. And I tell my husband, guy, I'm sorry. You fucked up.
Well.
Like, how does that work?
It's not
what he did wrong that is the problem. It's how he said it.
Exactly.
You know, because also a good sex life has a lot to do with how we resolve conflict.
Mm.
Because like I was saying earlier, sometimes because we want peace, we become very civil instead of being cordial. And until there is a lot of, you know, being cordial to one another, we won't get into vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get into that romance and into that sex mood. So, like we're talking we're talking about the fact that several people are separated, but they're living in the same room.
Yeah.
And largely because they're thinking of what people will say. Mm-hmm. Let's stay in this. Mm-hmm. What my kids will say. Let's stay in this. And also the choice of our words. I mean, a couple came to me and said, I just want to confront her. I said, well, I think I need you to change your, you know, it's not, don't approach her with confrontation.
Yeah.
Say, I want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Once you change the tone, it lowers your blood pressure, it lowers your mm-hmm. approach. Mm-hmm. So also, before we talk about being intentional, we also need to talk about the things that has held people hostage. Some people are running limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
That are holding a state. They're listening to other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one is even my own story. My wife, when we were dating, she said to me, she went to FGCC, she said, a friend said to her that if you sleep with a man, this is when you walk out of the room like this.
I love that.
So the night that we got married, so I want me, I was ready for the action.
You'll be ready,
remove your clothes. Then she said, I should off light. Okay, we're off light. Then she used to wear to cover us. I said, what's happening here? Yeah, bros has been waiting. You know. But you know, she was listening to other people's story.
Yeah.
She had been held hostage by some other people limiting beliefs. It took me about 5 days before I could have sex after her. It wasn't that we're tired though. She was just scared for penetration. And there are a lot of people like that still kind of enjoy sex because at some point, the stories they've heard have formed the belief system. Unfortunately, if they now have one, Mr. Jack, that is not patient her to have one. The first night became horrible. You know, in NLP, it just validates the topic. Yeah. They told me now it has happened again.
Yeah.
So she will keep running from it. And so, like I said earlier, many people don't like to talk about the things they think about. So it takes a life coach, a relationship coach, a sex coach like you to say, hey, what are the barriers? Because no matter how intentional you are, if you don't visit your past will hit your goals for breakfast. So you've got to visit the past to say, okay, what are the things that can stop my intention? What have I not been intentional? We're 20 years in marriage, we're 10 years in marriage, we're 5 years in marriage. What had not made us being intentional? You will find out that a lot of people who are not intentional are having very limiting beliefs. They're listening to the stories that are they never validated, but they just believed and they held on to it. So it's a broad topic. And the truth about it is, several married people need to unlearn certain things.
Yeah.
Some old wife fables, some beer apologists that they have held on to. And they get to the bedroom and like, our goal this year is to have sex once every 2 days. You realize you'll be in March and you just had sex once.
Mm.
A repetition of what happened last year. It will continue like that until go back and find out at least your sex beliefs, your limiting beliefs, what has held you hostage? How do we settle conflict? Are we making up our mind to be civil so that there can be peace? Or we're made up our mind to be cordial so that there can be bonding, intimacy, romance, and ultimately sex?
Mm. Okay, so let me ask you, talking about belief system, I think that's one major problem we have in marriage, especially when it comes to sex. For instance, you have a husband who believes, I'm not going to go down on you. So I had a couple, they got married 2 days after we did, I usually do, for most of my, when I do bridal showers for my brides, so I do sex goals. Yeah, what are the things, the rules, the things you know that nothing can make me do this thing in my life. What is your limit? Yeah. And so the husband wrote his own. This was 2 days after the wedding, the wife did hers. And so when I got the paper, I looked at it, I thought like, this marriage can't last. She was like, why are you cursing me? I said, no. From what I have here, this marriage cannot last. Now, the husband, his first never to do is oral sex. The wife's main goal, oral sex. So I gave it to both of them. And so they looked at it and said like, why won't you give me oral? Why won't you go down on me? They were like, I don't believe in it. It's against my religion. So I looked at it like, didn't you people talk about sex before marriage? These are people who are already married.
A lot of people don't talk about it because, you know, I like to say to people who are courting or dating to say, courtship time is not intercourse time, it's interview time.
Interview.
It's time to ask ourselves questions. What are your beliefs? What are your ideologies about marriage?
Yeah.
Does they align? Because a lot of times there are two people who seem to love each other and their values are parallel. Then they begin to get, you know, conflict. And because we say a life, and you know, some people who are extremely educated, they're so egocentric, they don't want to get a coach.
You what know, would they and, teach me?
Yeah, what would they teach
what would
me?
They and say like, that I don't know.
Because the reality I found out in my over 10 years of practice is there are certain questions you will never ask yourself.
Sure.
There are you need a life coach to help you get to visit the area you don't want to visit. Mm. So you can dig out certain limiting beliefs that you are running subconsciously. So the issues that we have, why a lot of marriages, I mean, you were talking about those things in your DM and all of that. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. We're not free. I'm sure the way we're talking now, people are like, I mean, this girl is very razzle.
They're even giving me a name. Say, can she come? Can she come? Someone has told me that they will find it hard if they find me in heaven. that means
and
that means
to laugh out
and
loud.
That's the problem. We make sex seem like it's dirty, yeah. Like it's against religion, against God. And of course, you know, one of those limiting beliefs is church. Yeah. You know how we grew up. The shame around sex, the shame around. I mean, there was a time that the rumor was going around that a popular church, the pastor told them that anybody who was hellfire. Hmm. And that they are not qualified to minister. And
or
that
they have oral
stop.
Sex. The same mouth they used to pray. The same mouth.
The same mouth
and their prayers
you know,
can be answered.
And I mean, this is sex that God created. How is it dirty?
I mean, in the context of marriage.
So you find that there's so many people running on things that have been suggested to them. They didn't even get the chance to decide whether I want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's just been sewn into their subconscious and they've been carrying it on like that. So the shame, if I talk about what I'm feeling, the fact that I don't like penetration, they won't talk. Why couldn't your wife just have told you, you know what, I'm afraid? And then you get to tell her that, you know what, I'll be gentle, we'll figure it out, which would allow you to bond. But she would rather be like, she'll keep that to herself, even though there's something holding her back. Mm. The fact that she has to even say it out is shameful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it means that she's like, you know, running away. She, then for you, you might be thinking, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe she's not the sex goddess that I'm looking for. You know, so there's a lot of issues. Like you said, it's a broad topic. So if you're going to be intentional, the first step is to break down those things. Start from the foundation. You don't just go and be setting marriage goals if there's no communication. You don't go and be setting marriage goals if there's no aligned values. You know, you don't even set goals if you don't understand. There are many goals we set we will not achieve.
Yeah.
You have to understand your person. You have to understand the climate of your marriage before you are setting goals. Your husband was never giving you a head before. You suddenly set a goal in 2020 that's all you want to get.
I will get it. It's not a goal.
You know, you have not spoken to him. You have not even tried to, you know, get a coach, make him understand. There's been no groundwork at all. You know, so if we're going to be intentional, like you said, we must drill down to the foundation. We must drill down to what has been stopping us. Where can we go from it? Moving from the known to the unknown, not just that you want to throw yourself out there.
Wow. We need to get down to foundation. So at what level do you think you are now? What floor? First floor? Second floor?
Ground floor.
Because whether you like it or not, you need to go down back, remove the first floor, remove the ground floor, and go deep into the foundation to know what the problem is. But this time we'll be taking a break, and when we come back, we'll be coming back with the second round of orgasm. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to the section. Tonight we are still talking about being sexually intentional. Intentionality. Intentional. BC here has intentionally been having orgasm.
In this space.
Second, this space here. Did I just lie?
Did you just lie?
Did I lie? I'm asking you. You are turning back at me. You want to do coaching for me? Good job. She does not know that we have been into this game for a long time. Anyway, in case you're just joining, this is a sex show. And all I'm here to do is help bring your fantasy to reality. How do you want it? The fingering of the brain, the kissing, the touching. Let's go back to the fingering of the brain here. He talked about fingering of the brain. I love that one. And I'm going to try. Let me see. How can we even finger a brain safe?
Torturing the brain.
Torturing the brain. Ha, I'm learning to do this.
He's torturing me one time.
They are raw music in it. He's in their blood. We are bringing out the sex god and sex goddess. We know them. They will come and before me know I'm holy. But before they leave this show, and you're torturing. So let's talk about fantasy. Now, before we went on break, we're talking about oral sex. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. I believe in it. I don't believe in it. Now, this goes down to fantasy. A lot of couples can't not everywhere here, can't talk to their spouse about their fantasy. So I usually do Truthful Tuesday. So there was a time I talked about fantasy and I realized that most women wanted threesome.
Wow.
Talking about married women, these are not fabricated stories. Real stories. So what I do is once I post your story, I edit, I move your name, I post, I delete you. I don't want to know you. You understand? So that, who knows, anything can happen to my phone anytime. I don't want people's story out there. So I delete you. I don't have anything to do with you. But most of them were more about threesome, sleeping with somebody else. Men were telling me about sleeping with their wife's friend, tasting their wife's sister, you know, having threesome with their wife's friend. But hey, all these things are just in their head. None of them could say to their spouse, this is it. So how do you become intentional when you can't even say your fantasy?
Well, in terms of fantasy, you need to realize that this head that we're talking about is not all head that is correct. You know, so when we're talking about fantasy, it's not a matter of just fantasies that are, you know, some people is, if you say you want to have sex with your wife's friend, that is just, that has gone beyond fantasy. That's a lost problem. Yeah? So when we're talking about fantasy in the context of a relationship where there's an agreement to be partners, yes, then we can talk about maybe you want to have oral sex, you want to, I mean, what do you do? You want to, you know, there's, what do they call it? Submission and
okay, BDSM.
You know, all those stuff, okay, you know, different sex. Things, you know, you want to have different styles. There are some styles that have seem to be absurd, you know, you want to be able to talk about it. You want to experience sex. Yeah. You want to do something other than missionary. You want to go outside of the house. You want to, you know, different things that you want to do, you know, in the, if it's going outside the confines of your agreement to be one in body and soul, then we need to begin to check that fantasy again. So it's not the fantasy that is the problem. It's that the people understand and are sold out to the cause of marriage and to the cause of faithfulness to their partner. So that's what we need to check. Once that is checked, then people can talk about their fantasy. Then we can now even begin to talk about why we can't talk. You know, there's shame, it's embarrassing. Some people now, they are dealing with, you know, great addiction to porn and masturbation. Yeah. You know, apart from even fantasy, there's so many situations in a marriage that if they are caught, you know, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a silence game in the house. You know, nobody will be able to talk. You know, so there are some fantasies that, you know, it's not fantasy. It's a lost issue, you know, and it has to be addressed as a lost problem. You want to have sex with a teenager. Somebody can say it's a fantasy. You want to have sex with a child. You know, you just want to have sex with your child. You know, it's fantasy now. Let's talk about it. But you know, you have to be able to address it in the context of what is our agreement as a couple.
What are our values?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, do we agree to stay within the confines of our marriage and submit to the faithfulness that we both agreed to? You know, so before then we can be. But if it's like fantasies, just, you know, exploring sex with your partner, exploring sex within your home, exploring, you know, ideas, angles, and all of those things. Then, of course, we go back to communication and we go back to limiting beliefs. Because some people, your spouse is not a problem. It's not like your spouse cannot handle it, but you, self, you can't even open your mouth to say it.
That's the point. Because you are shy.
You are shy. You are thinking, will they judge me? They've not even judged you. You have to say it first before you know that you are judged. But some of us, I mean, especially women, you know, some of us, we were trained to be cool about these things. It's a guy that has sex about now that sleeps with girl. If you say you are sleeping around, what do they call you? You know, but it's okay. So some of those things are sort of just being pre-programmed in our mind that sex is for the bad people, it's for the bad girls. So me, I just want to be a good wife. I just want to be okay.
Postally cool can make you some, you know, pound of yam.
Yes, you know.
Good wife.
So you have to first of all overcome the shame, you know. So don't be too focused that your partner is the problem. You have to first of all check yourself. Am I the problem? Am I shy? Am I holding back? Is there something that is limiting me? Why am I thinking that I'll be judged? And if I'm judged, how do we move forward? You know, that kind of a thing, you know. But we go back to communication and being intentional. Just start.
I would see it from a slightly same thing. Just want to add a few things to it. If we talk about intentionality, I also believe that both parties have a part to play. the lady must, or the wife must, intentionally understand that she must keep making herself chaseable. A lot of MDs that sleep with their secretary, you find out that the secretaries are not as beautiful as their wives. So what happens most time is when he's living in the house in the morning, they're still tying your wrapper. There's air net on.
I do. I go about those people that don't tie.
I'm coming.
The feminine ejaculates.
And he sees a wonderful, beautiful looking lady all made up. By the time he's back in the evening, you went out, you had your makeup, you look good. But by the time he's back in the evening,
it's either what?
You're back to...
or maybe the children are just like...
So being intentional for a woman also... A man is a lion. He wants to chase.
Lion.
So you must make yourself chaseable. You must make yourself... Let the bomb shots do the speaking. Let the tops... Let it make... Because you see, there's always the sea finish that you have to fight.
Sure.
In marriage, and when I do marriage seminars, I like to mention it. One of the things that kills marriage is the see finish, because it's easier to respect your husband's friend than to respect your husband. Because you have seen his nakedness, you've seen the almighty EMD, I've seen everything, and you're like, okay, shibubwenoni, and all of that. So you've got to intentionally respect him, you have to intentionally look good. You have to intentionally ask what kind of hairstyle do you like. You have to intentionally...
Ask man, what kind of hairstyle does he like?
Yes.
Is he hairstyle here?
What about me? Is he hairstyle here? Thank you. Is he hairstyle here or hairstyle here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You see, so ask him the kind of hairstyle he like. Is it the hairstyle here? Because someone like me now, I'm on local to here. Is he hairstyle here or here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So if my man likes weed, maybe braid. Now I have to braid here. I'm ready here for you.
I think that, you know, I mean, it's sort of, there's a point there, you know, but I like to see it as, because this is, when we begin to talk about one person and making it look as if, or make yourself chaseable.
No, I just wanted to tell the wife that.
But why don't you guys make yourself look good for us? The man who wears boxers every time.
No.
Hold on.
Let
me break it down.
Okay.
A woman ties wrapper, we get it. A woman should wear bum shorts. A woman should wear... Sometimes maybe shorts without panties for easy access. Why can't you wear boxers without hole?
Because a man is moved by his sight.
I'm moved by sight.
Though, when I see Bola walker, I'm like, that's my own.
So
come here.
So why don't you
do that same thing for us?
So it all boils back to what she said. Let's have a conversation. Some people, I mean, there's a particular couple, the guy used to wear boxers, the lady said, I don't like it. Where, you know, there's that boxers that grips everything.
Ha! Correct! Where
like a swimming trunk around the house. It turns me on. And that was part of the adjustment they had to make to make their marriage. So it boils to, there's no one size fit all. It boils back to communication. What would you have me do? Someone said, your mouth odor, your body odor, everything just brings my erection down. You know, you also have to be there, Jim. So it's, let's have that honest conversation. And you see, like I said earlier, once we don't have conflict resolution plans or goals or approach, we will want to keep peace in the name of culture, society, my children, and we will remain civil and not cordial. And anytime a relationship is civil, we're just straitjacket. Hello, Anna, have you eaten? Good morning, I'm going to work. I will soon be back. My husband. Welcome, sir. You've got to be able to pull my nose, pull my beard. That's where...
Spank my bum.
You know, the funny thing is, even with those things, they have to be intentional.
Yeah.
Some people... This is one of my favorite things to say to couple. Don't go for the organic. Go for the intentional. Because with organic, we sort of have a laid-back approach and expect that my husband should love me now. He should find me attractive. He should eat my bum. You know, my wife should want to play with me. She should want to sit beside me, you know. But sometimes, as couples, we have to be intentional about these things. Not that... sometimes you have to think about that hand. Say, hit his bum as it's passing. Because it's practice. Sometimes the truth is, some of us really have to come out of our shell. We love our husbands, we're friends, we're free. It's just like, for some things we're like, what's the need? You have to learn it. You have to embrace the wisdom in the fact that your hand control you and say, as it's going like that, slap it. But it might be uncomfortable for you, but you know, stop it
small.
Up
just
and say
small.
Yeah, and say, then let him look at you like, what's going on, like, yeah, You know,
you do that thing a lot. You do it a lot. I can see to your face.
Start small. Eat his bum. Touch his touch your wife's breath. Blow her kisses. When you're sitting together like this, even if you know people complain to me, my husband is pressing his phone. He's pressing his phone. You are pressing your phone here.
You press his body from the back.
Together, hold your own phone too. Let him be pressing your phone, but be together. As you are together, you are not saying don't press your phone. Mm. You are not saying let's, because if you say drop your phone, let's talk now. He drops the phone, there's nothing to talk about. But you are pressing the phone together. Who knows what can happen there? He can, from there, start to fiddle your breast, touch your hair. Oh, before you know it, the phone has dropped. You know, something can happen, but you have to start small and you must prioritize your relationship. Prioritize that marriage. And before you know it, ideas will begin to flow to you because it takes a certain type of person to be the person we are talking about, to be the person who sets goals, who says, I want to be great in bed and all of those things, you know. And concerning what you said, I like to look at it as, you know, it boils down to that familiarity thing. Whether you're a man or a woman, don't take your marriage for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted. You know, find ways how you can, you know, stimulate them. That's all you did when you were dating anyway. Now that you are married, you know, and then there are children now, there's work, there's rent, there's food and all of those things, it will take a little bit extra effort to sort of be the way you were, but just see, be the person that tries, you know.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about high libido, low libido, stress everywhere. I get back, I'm tired. She wants sex. How do I now intentionally bring my spouse to my level? Now, most issues is one spouse is like the other is like this, and so this one expects that you should come up. This one said that okay, you should come to my level. I don't like sex now. But they were not like that before. So how do we merge it? How do we help them come to a compromise?
I think there are two things. Some people wear like that. Some people lie and say, oh, I'm tired. Really, it's a libido issue. You know, if you employ the services of a coach, they'll be able to figure these things out. Some people, it's not a libido issue. It's that cares of the world have now entered the matter. You are genuinely tired. But I realize that for most people, it's not really a tiredness thing. It's that they don't like sex. It's like some women can be okay not having sex for 2 months. And it doesn't mean that they don't love their husband.
One year.
You know, some people can be okay. You know, I mean, 1 year is even a bit extreme, you know, unless there's a problem. But generally speaking, I'm talking about where you know that 2 weeks is not, you are not, and you are not disconnected. There are women who are not necessarily disconnected from their spouse. They still talk. They still feel friendly. They still play. But they don't really like sex like that, you know. It boils down to a libido, but you find that she'll be making excuses. She's tired from cooking, from caring for the children, from going to her own job, and, you know, as a matter of fact, you know. So I think that with libido issue, once you guys have, what is most important is the judgment. If you find that, and it's because people are not giving to the cause of marriage. So we don't go into the marriage to make it work. We go into it to get what we want, to do it as we want, to get a healthy home. Nobody goes into marriage and say, I'm not married. How do we make this marriage work? It's like, I must have a good marriage. There are two different things. People build castles in the air. Yeah. They look at their own family life, their parents, and they say, I don't want this. It's not about I don't want this. It's about what is the plan in place. So when you find that people are sold out to the cause of marriage like that, when you enter a marriage and there's low libido, you find the approach is different. A woman or a man will not be judgmental and saying that, oh, you must not be a woman who wants to please me. You must not be interested in my well-being. They're able to think beyond that and look at the real issue that could this be a libido problem. They are willing to talk, you know. So the person for the job also matters. So if you're going to marry somebody, you have to think about all those things, because the people who would not talk, they will not know that they are not doing anything right. You know, they will just be blaming you. You don't want to have sex. You are always complaining, you know. But somebody who is interested in that marriage, who has accepted you, who wants to see it work, will be patient enough and say, what's the issue? They might even pay for a coach, you know. They might pay for a session for you and all of those things. So I think that people should open up more and be willing to talk to a third party. Let us stop this. I don't want a third, and men do that a lot. I don't want to talk. What do they want to tell me? I don't want a third party. They tell us, and then for women, they tell us that we should never, ever, under any circumstances, bring a third party to our marriage. For men, it's a case of what do they want to teach me? Ego, pride, and all.
Are you saying I'm not good enough?
So we need to open up
and understand that, you know what, there are professionals who can help.
Yeah.
There are people who can help you. There are drugs to use. There are things to help your libido, you know, come up. And then there's even just sitting together in a session and understanding where the other person is so that you can see it as, oh, so it's not a problem of my husband that, oh, he doesn't want to please me. It's just that he cannot, you know. So we can now work, okay, does he need this more? Do we need to program the sex, you know? And
you know, just like we had said earlier, the issue at hand has a lot to do with our past. So for some people, reaching that compromise, primarily, of course, for anything like marriage, there has to be that compromise to say, okay, I really don't like, but because of that, we do this. Someone said rigidity is the language of fools. So if you're going to make your marriage work, flexibility has to come in to say, okay, I like dog style. You like
snake style,
whatever it is. So because I don't really like it, but because of you, I will do it. That's one. The other one is there are several people who's got a very horrible experience growing up.
Fantastic.
Who never spoke about... I mean, I've worked with several ladies that would say, you're the first person I'm telling. You're the first person I'm telling. But I tried to tell my mom that my uncle raped me, but she said I was lying, so I kept it. So she just grew up, and she was sexually active. But what she does is, let me just lie down. Are you done? Let me go. And that had formed certain belief system in her. She feels... I mean, I've had ladies say that Shunjen is a food. You know, because in their mind, they need therapy to come out of that limiting belief. They are hurt. There's a particular lady, this one, very practical experience. This particular lady was raped by a guy who wore red boxers. Unfortunately for her, her husband's best color was red. Every time they want to have sex, and he sees a red box as it triggers the memory of when she was eight years old. So she's like, ah, you want cake? I bought cake. I've sent message. I've sent text. I've said I've been very vulgar on phone. Still, no, we just look like stone and stick, you know. But until I had a session with them to help them find what the trigger was, by a change of box as they changed life, the sex life improved. You know, because our mind stores everything that's happened. Mm-hmm. Our subconscious mind will just replay. And that red, anybody in red boxers triggers negative disempowering emotions in her. You know, and there are a lot of people like that who don't even know that the reason is some people, I mean, a particular couple, the guy had to remove his beard gang because the person that raped her when she was small had beard. So any other person with beard is a trigger to what happened until she had to go through therapy and get healed from that emotional hurt. She just couldn't enjoy her marriage. So it starts with diagnosis and assessment. Mm-hmm. Once there are certain limits, there are certain barriers, you know, you've got to sit down to look back and say, what was it like growing up? What were the unpleasant experiences that I had that I haven't dealt with? Because, you know, if you hit your leg on the wall now and it starts to bleed, by tomorrow, you're like, okay, it's healing gradually. Mm. But you see, emotional hurts, they're not seen, but they're deeper. And there are several people carrying hurts, animosity, all around, yet they're not humble enough or they're not bold enough to come out to say, this is what the issue is. And some of them are not even discussed with their husband, you'll be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, that you'll have to be the one, especially when there's a relationship between the person who hurts them then and the husband they finally got married to. So we've got to play the devil's advocate a lot of times to find a way to break the news and help them manage the energy. Because emotions are contagious. Once you come into the room and you're like, oh, they have co-reported me now that I cannot do. And you come with that emotion, you will transfer it no matter how much the shock is. So you would also have to come, and at the end of the day, they say you're a 1 minute man. You know, so it's a whole lot. I think I would just further validate what you said. Let's get people that talk to co-life coaches, relationship coaches, sex coaches. Let's open up so that our homes can be healthier. And you see, there is a lot of time when we were cutting, we used to have open display of affection. When people stop cutting and they're now married, they just shut down their open display of affection. They just do husband and wife at home. I mean, being in front of church, give your wife a peck. Hold her by the waist. Cuddle her outside.
Don't put you in trouble. So the question exactly is, what triggers you? What's the color of the boxer that triggers you? What exactly
Do you have BS issue that triggers you? Is it a man without BS?
Body odor.
Body odor, the smell, you know, the wrapper. Is it the kind of boxers he's wearing? Change it. Anyway, I'm going to go on a break. And when I come back, we'll be fingering more to get more orgasm. And maybe sweat all the way. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to the sex show. Yes, tonight we're still talking about how to be sexually intentional. Like, you know, the intentionality of opening your legs and closing them and fingering your brain. No, not the brain. Fingering the vagina. This is a sex show. Why are we fingering? Which brain are we fingering now? We're only passing across a message. We'll teach you how to finger, you know, when you put your hand and you ring your hand backwards. Just... You see that? No. Busy, why are you looking at me like that now? You're feeling it, Abby. You understand what I'm saying?
The reality is, this kind of conversation is not usually normal. So,
hey, I've never been normal. I've always been above normal.
I say not normal, so it's not a, even among married normal, people, yeah. It's difficult to find people who will call the name of the thing, the thing.
Which thing? Vagina and penis?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Vagina and penis now. It's what we all carry. Everybody in this room, we all have one vagina or one penis.
I told you I'm a
small
boy.
Except if you're dead.
I told you I'm a small boy and I'm trying to learn from you.
He's a small boy. Yes, I know. I'm a big babe with a vagina. Okay. I'm busy. Why are you blushing? Okay. You can send me your WhatsApp messages and text messages only. Nice. Still, we are still... Okay, now we're getting to the penetration part. No calls yet. When it's time for orgasm, you can call, you can hear your voice, and you can, you know. But for now, hey, send me your WhatsApp message if you have any questions. Questions not about quick ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, no. Questions about setting, being intentional in your marriage, about your sex life. Strictly questions about being intentional. So, now, let's dive in a little. Sex toys. We don't want to talk about it. Most women want it. But men believe that once you say it, that means I'm not good enough. Would you allow your wife bring in a sex toy?
No.
What's your reason?
Because it's anything that has a replacement will lose in value.
What is replacing you?
What does the sex toy do?
It doesn't replace. How is it replacing you?
Okay.
So
what does it do? Let me ask you.
It adds more pleasure. It adds more fun to your sex life. But okay. It does not replace anybody.
So as a life coach, I don't like a yes or you know. I believe that everyone's values, everyone believes will determine their decisions.
Sure.
So for me, it's a no. For other people, it could be a yes.
Because I want to believe you are thinking when you say... Okay, so the thing is, when you say sex toy, most men believe it's a penis. Which is a dildo.
Okay, so what is the sex toy?
There are different types of toys. That does not even look like penis at all.
So let me ask you, what's the purpose of a sex toy?
Okay, now let me give an example. You have a woman who have been circumcised. Yeah, and so most times some people believe that they find it difficult to get an orgasm. For a man who has been sleeping with his wife over and over for years, he has not been able to help her get an orgasm, or a woman who doesn't have a clitoris at all. Yeah, so some people believe that okay, because I don't have a clitoris, I can't have an orgasm. So because the sex toy, the difference, for instance, a bullet. Now, a bullet is just one. You can have like a lipstick, design of a lipstick is a bullet. So that kind of lipstick, you put it on because the ratio you place on the clitoris. Now, because the clitoris has nerve endings that connect into the vagina, she will get an orgasm. How has
when
that replaced
the old man
you?
Is having sex with her, right?
How has that replaced you? Or even he can use for her to get her orgasm and then she gets wet naturally.
So how
would that replace you?
It still goes back to one thing.
Yeah.
Every decision is shaped by beliefs and values.
No, I know, I agree.
Okay, so...
But how has that replaced you? You said
it will replace you. So if intentionally God created sex and he had made provision by which the man and the woman will get into certain level, and by virtue of maybe the human error or maybe circumstantial issues, they can't get there. Yes, anyone that is comfortable with doing it is fine. I've not been able... I can't vouch for a path I have not treaded. And I'm not even willing to. Because somehow I think I'm endowed with what is required for the subject matter.
You're endowed with what is required.
For the subject matter.
Which subject matter? I don't understand.
Oroko and so whatever matter, I don't understand.
That's so spice. Wow. That's
a deep one.
Wow.
What's that?
So in other words, ekusibe. It's okay, we understand. Let's not go beyond that. You have said it all. Please, it's married though. Married with children. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's relative. One man's food is another man's poison.
True, I agree.
So I mean, that's my stand about it. I don't know what you're saying.
So, BC, what do you think about sex toys?
Well, of course, in my experience, I've also come to a place where it's not a yes or no. Especially with the example, there are actually people who cannot achieve an orgasm. I mean, an orgasm is even far-fetched. Like, it's almost like, even if you want to have an orgasm, don't think about the orgasm. Mm. Enjoy the process. And you would, you know, maybe you might land there, you know. So, but there are some people who do not even find sex pleasurable as a result of their, maybe the circumcision, or maybe because, you know, they by penetration, they just cannot, you know, enjoy. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you find that as a couple, maybe from coaching or whatever, they've come to the agreement that they can use the an aid to sort of help each other. So the man wears a cock ring, you know.
Fantastic. Thank you for that one.
And, you know, as he's, you know, penetrating is also, the cock ring is stimulating
the man.
The man and the lady, and of course it makes things better for them. So because of things like this, you know, I've come to see sex toys as aids, you know, just like, you know, God, we have hands, we eat, yet we, there are spoons, there's knife, there's forks. But the danger of it, and which I think is where the replacement comes in, is that there's a tendency to be addicted to it. There's a tendency to replace communication with it. So because sex in itself is supposed to take us to the place where we're naked and unashamed, that sex toy sort of just stops the process, you know. So unless, you know, for some people it's critical, it's even clinical for them to be aided doctors, in sex, you know. But if you, it's not something that I would say on the go, just go right on, get a sex toy, because the danger of it is that it becomes something that is accessible, and you find that when couples fight, instead of them to talk, then the quarrel extends, because the man or the woman can take care of him or herself outside of sex, you know. So that's the danger. So which is where, of course, discipline comes in. Anybody can be even to food, we have to still be disciplined about how we eat it, you know. So it's still a matter of, you cannot escape
then also you need to know that a lot of people stumble into it. So I'd work with a client, a lady who had said to me, I'm not ready to do yes sir for any man anywhere. My auntie told me that he's married 3 men, they're men, I always count, they're all the same. So let me just be a baby mama. If I'm on you, I'll buy the one with battery, the one with electricity. So there is that mindset of, I can use it as a replacement. I mean, I've had all sorts back
but,
and
but what,
forth.
One thing I always know is, like I tell people, if you have to buy a sex toy, your spouse must be aware. You
but I love most single times, ladies who are not.
You most times become addicted when your spouse is not aware. Now, when a man uses a sex toy on you, or a woman is on a man, it's less stressful, so you get more pleasure. But when you now want to use it on yourself, it's more stressful, so you won't get the same pleasure you get when your spouse.
I mean, even if somebody says, I don't want to get married, it's their decision, it's their choice, and it's really based largely on their belief system. I
where
mean,
they're coming
it's
from.
Okay, you know, the problem is when we have agreed to be married, and when we have agreed to come together and try to be together, and then one person is trying to cut that process. You know, that's where there is an issue. So even if you are married and you have a sex toy, you cannot escape the requirement of marriage, which is a personal growth, personal discipline, and intentionality. That leads
cordiality.
To intimacy
and
vulnerability, and all the things that marriage needs to survive and thrive. Nobody can escape it. And sometimes what dependence on these toys or whatever it is that you people agree to, what it does is that it sort of stunts
that process. So, like I was saying, if a couple fights now, and initially sex would have been like a binder, you know, they have sex and then they resolve their issue.
Yeah.
Now, because somebody can go for days because they are taking care of themselves, that quarrel now extends, which sort of cuts the intimacy.
Yeah.
That process of talking, that process of saying, you know what, I'm not satisfied today. We had sex, it wasn't satisfying. I mean,
so
you know, you
can touch this place,
touch me here, touch me here. You know, it becomes frustrating. Because why talk if I can get it?
Also,
after
we need to also see it from a religious perspective. We're largely a religious of a nation, and because of that, I've not found any of the two major religions who have openly come out to say we endorse it. Even though
they can't, why would they come?
There are many things,
I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere.
They
cannot
even endorse it. Have they even endorsed it?
So, if based on religious beliefs and views, it's like a taboo. It will, and you say anything done in secrecy will grow. One of the problems we had in Nigerian government when the issue of cocaine and codeine and all of that was on the was rampant was that they said they were banning it. That was the worst thing they did. Anything you ban, you have created artificial market for that thing. The same thing, because largely we're religious and everyone wants to identify with the beliefs and the values of the religious organization and all of that. So they will keep doing it hypocritically. They will condemn it in the open, but yet fantasize with it. So it's a two-sided thing because money, just like money, money is neither evil or good or bad. It's the personality of the person who's got the money that will determine how it's spent. The same way, some people, yes, might not want to have it to say, okay, I won't use it as a replacement. But like she said, once it is an option, it will one day become an habit. You know, and as gradually as it becomes a habit, the guy who should now be there, and you see, the way our brain is wired, once you begin to do anything habitually, your brain begins to adjust to it, The same way with alcohol, the same way with anything, you know. So it's a mix. Maybe further research can prove otherwise. And I won't say anyone comes to me and say, well, I want you to say, if you believe in it, fine. But I like to talk about myself.
Okay. I like the fact that you said about yourself. So I have what's a messages here. This person says, my name is Julius Peter. Okay. My question is why a woman refused to give her husband all her style. How will a husband know all her style? Do you even know what
let's talk
style?
About it.
I'm talking about, I'm sure he's talking about sex positions.
And basically, the woman is not open to.
They don't even have the summary of it is they don't have
those kind of styles.
They don't have honest conversation. They
so
don't
what he's saying is that why wouldn't a woman give her all? Why wouldn't she be willing and interested if I say I want this?
So someone says, thank you for the wonderful job. I can now be more intentional in my sex life with my husband. God bless you. My husband hits my ass even in the presence of his brothers. At first, I didn't find it funny. But along the line, I got used to it. Like, you do enjoy it. You know. I'm really learning from this. How do we finger the brain? Is it vagina that you finger? Oh, is it vagina?
I mean, you can finger the brain. I mean, it's all in the mind.
Yeah.
Just touch that.
Just close your eyes and
send
imagine.
Messages.
No, it's just
talk.
Metaphoric.
Let him massage your head.
Yeah.
It's just metaphoric to say you're touching a very critical part
of it. Can't you finger someone's brain? Like, sit down, close your eyes, let him massage your head.
No, I don't even want to. I want us to, I mean, in the context of sex, so that people realize that it is first in the mind before it translates. So, during the day, if you're married, don't just leave your spouse, till blank. You go back, you come back, you leave in the morning, you come back home, and then you've been in the kitchen and you want to have sex, you know. Sometimes hold each other, if you're in the same space, hold each other just for the fun of it. Send kisses, send text messages. What you are doing is that you're stimulating his mind. Yeah. You are allowing the good hormones to be released so that by the time it's time to go down,
When he's having that meeting over the phone or he's on the laptop, just go on the table. You know what we'll do on the table? That's okay. My own is, you know, I go straight. Go straight to the team. Do halfway and leave him hanging. He will come begging. Oh, my sorry, oh, my baby. Anyway, this one says, why a woman refuses to give it all when it comes to sex with her husband, a marriage of 9 years? Well, like she already said, it goes back to her belief system. So you need to find out why.
That's why you're asking me. Is
even go back to marriage. Apart from sex, is not is one aspect of your marriage. Mm, so if yeah, you make the it the aspect. All, you are already missing the point. If you think that because we're talking about setting sexual goals, that that's the everything, you are missing the point. Then you will not even achieve the goals you set. Mm. So it's one aspect. If your wife is having problems giving her all in the marriage, we don't know how you people are.
Yeah,
we don't know how the climate started. Of your marriage.
I also feel that there's what is called the emotional bank account. A lot of times, sex is not intentional or sex is not enjoyable. Because the man's emotional bank account might be depleted and the woman's emotional bank account might be depleted. So part of intentionality is to ensure that the man tops up the woman's emotional bank account. Part of intentionality is for the woman to top up the man's emotional bank
account. Are you telling them to go back to what they used to do before they got married?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's largely, filled with that, speaking each other's love language. Mm. The more you speak the love language, the more you fill the bank account. So when they present the check,
I changed my love language to gift.
Someone said to me in a radio show and said, my love language is money.
I love you. We intentionally changing our love language. You see how those help me? Don't help me. Give me the money, I'll get help to help me. That's the cocoa. So
is
this
your
person
love language says, money?
Me. I've changed it now to money. Said money and sex. I've changed it instantly. Sex is about communication. Don't take sex as a sacrilege. It's blessing to humanity.
Yeah.
So let us enjoy sex. Couples need to have enough communication during sex. Sex is a must. And it has to be unlimited network. Mm-hmm. Someone says masturbation is sin.
Tell them to come to your page.
You're a sex coach. So that question is yours. Or...
Go to my page. Do you think
you
it's a sin?
Or you go ask your pastor.
Really, do you think it's a sin? No, ask yourself. Say, don't even ask your pastor. She be a person and you might be like you.
So let's do this. Do you think it's masturbation is sin? I'm asking you as a sex coach.
Me. For me.
You're asking sex coach. So
spice. I preach self-love. I preach exploration of the body.
What does that mean?
So I don't use the word masturbation. I use exploring the body. I need to understand what part of my body turns me on. I need to know, is it my G-spot that will give me an orgasm? Is it my clitoris? Is it my nipples? So I tell women sometimes that when you want to take a shower, don't use a sponge. Use your hand. Bits. Touch yourself. When you feel a certain way, then you can get back. Probably during sex, put your husband's hand there. Let him continue the job. That way you know what works for you. But I believe in sex exploration anyway. Depends on you. But hey, does not mean I'm saying that's it. What do you believe in? That's the major thing, trust me. Someone says, okay, so many messages coming in at the same time. I'm married before uncle. And my wife wants joggy style for her, like an hour, and I can't go that long. So then she refuses sex. I have decided to stick to masturbation, but want to be sure if it's a sin. So she wants joggy style for at least 1 hour.
For her to be asking, it shows that conscience can carry it.
Mm.
It's simple. Once you have to ask, it shows that your conscience is accusing you, is not excusing you.
Mm.
So, you need help. So see any of us for the required help.
You need help. They've said it, you need help. So on this note, I'm already wet because of the feeling of the brain and, the change of my love language. I turned it now to money. Money, forget it. So I'm going to go on a break, and when I come back, we'll be reading more messages and maybe get some orgasm. You know how I do it. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to the sex show. Yes, it's still myself. I am moi. So slice the sex for this. People like us were born through sex. We live for sex nothing else. We are going to be having sex in the very end. You know, one day I always tell God, dream prayer, and I go, please, when it's time for me to come, let me have my last sex before I come. Because for crying out loud, there's no sex there now. So I want to do it.
Before you go.
Before I come.
Okay, come home.
If you like, say ejaculation. That's what you have. You see this man, the sex God in him is out already.
Why did you say before I die?
No, it's come.
You are most come. One of my friends usually say you are most wet come.
You see them, it's coming out. We know that. So I'm still going back to your message. Someone says, I've read all this one. Well done, you did try. When I won't marry a woman. Okay. Dapo, I'm sorry. Your message is not complete, so I really can't read it. Does masturbating frequently affect one emotionally and during sex? Does it make you want more sex or loot it?
So yeah. there are different angles to it. It cannot stand out.
Fantastic.
So
that's it.
Every emotion is chasing a feeling.
Mm.
So there's something you're chasing. You're chasing something to validate. So it depends. I would have to ask you a few more questions to be able to know exactly what's the intention behind your masturbating. What was it like? It's a wrap. It's not a one.
Again, of course, with masturbation, actually, like practically, if you have a certain vibrator that you use, if your hot band maybe takes like 5 minutes, if fingers you take like 5 minutes for him to get you there. If you start using a vibrator which takes less than 5 minutes, of course, what happens is that the stimulation from the vibrator is more than the stimulation from the finger. So of course, when you are having sex with your husband without a vibrator, it will take longer. And that process can be frustrating for you. It can begin to mean that
I'm
not saying that it's like bad. I'm just saying that if you want to think about it, I mean, they go online, read about it, it's research based, mm-hmm. it's clinically, you know, it's about stimulation, whether it's fingering, legging, it's about stimulation. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing that causes that stimulation. So if the horsepower in your vibrator is big enough to send you to the heavens, you can't expect that it will take the same time for a finger mm-hmm. to do the job. So it's still
some fingers are good,
it can't take the same time.
See, let me tell you, I'm gonna say it practically. It so I just believe that it goes down to who you're dealing with. When a man knows that you use toys, he knows how long it takes. So that's why I always say, both of you be aware. If you do it behind and in 2 seconds you get your orgasm, and he doesn't know, he might last 15 minutes before he can put you there. But when both of you know that this is the place, this is the point I put the toy, or this is where he touches that. And the man knows the level of pressure. It's not just the touching. The level of pressure to put.
Mm.
Get it 2 seconds, it will come.
Let's take one question.
You know, I love to talk about facts, yeah. From experience, though. Hello, why do most men do like kind of style? Okay, why do most men do kind of style when dating a lady, but when they get married, things change?
So what fact or what data backs that up?
Hey, I'm just talking about herself.
I mean, the situation has changed. So you don't worry. The problem is that people are not willing to embrace the fact, and it's because we're not truly working on our marriage. Your dating is different from marriage.
Mm.
If you date for 9 years, you cannot be fully prepared. You can't finish preparing for marriage.
No,
you can't fully be ready. So when you get married and start having children, is it the same as when you're dating? You have to now figure out what works now. What can we begin to do to sort of get the feeling that we used to have there? Maybe change the groove.
Okay, so I'm going to read these messages. And this one says, what part of a vagina can I suck?
Next week.
Sex coach.
I will let them answer the vagina next that you can week. Suck. My husband and I have sex real good before we got married. But after marriage, excuses came in.
Yeah.
We must have sex. I beg, pets, make him watch porn first before he gets around, and we do it.
Mm.
I don't talk about it at all. If not, he may be mad at me and call me indecent. Even to wearing half nude dresses is a problem. We are not broke, but he will say work, better home.
Mm.
I have also tried to talk to him about oral. She just keeps sighing, yeah. No, he doesn't want to do it. Because now if I want to watch porn and feel good, then I let it go. I love my husband. I am tired of fighting.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. Values, alignment.
Yes, but at this point, they need to get a life coach, a relationship coach, a sex coach too.
Please.
To help them. Because both of them are running belief systems that are on the contrary.
But wait, so how do you bring that kind of man to realize that he needs a coach without him getting insulted?
That's where the issue is. Because an average man, 90% of my clients are women, because they are willing, they want to embrace help. But I mean, one, you can't get him, I'm sorry.
Well, this is what I always say. You come for coaching. I mean, with me, in my own line of work, if a person tells me, how do I get my... There's a unique formula to that. So sign up for your personal coaching and I'll teach you how to bring your husband.
Fantastic.
You have hear it. You have hear it here. You hear it. Sign up. Get out of here. Okay, I think the best thing for anyone is to give head. If you don't do it, I'm sure if the pussy is so juicy, you want it no matter how. How are you sure that's the best? What if it's not the best for me? Good evening. I'm new on this program. The truth is I love having head and giving head, but my husband has refused to head me, nor allow me to. Each time I try to head him, he refuses. He refuses me. What can I do, please? This oral says major wala.
Very major. It still comes back to what she said earlier. They need to get a coach to help them align what their values are. Because in marriage, there's always conflict of values and conflict of beliefs. And it shows that one or two of them is very rigid. Because everyone has to move ground. You have to always compromise. Marriage is about compromise.
But how do you deal with
it? And then I think she should pause. You know, sometimes when we want something, we just forget and stop thinking about what the other person wants as well. She did not say they don't have sex. She said he has refused to give her head. So pause and not make it about you alone. Find out what the fact is.
What he wants and do it.
Why does he not want it? May consider it dirty. May consider it sinful. So begin to start a research. Start reading. Before you deal with the head issue, doing it or not doing it, face your marriage and say, let's talk. So find an article, read it, send it to him. If, of course, that marriage now, they may be good with talking. She may just not know how to broach the subject. So continue talking to him. Continue being friendly in that marriage. Make sure that, you know, things are okay. Don't focus on this issue. You know, but look for the positives around your marriage. Water it, nurture it, and then read up online, get research, fact-based research, share with him what does he think, you know, what does he think about this. He might begin to read, because sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge, you know, and a lack of, unwillingness to submit to the truth. So you must first of all know what is the issue. For some men, it's a lack of knowledge. For some people, it's an unwillingness to even submit to a fact and to a truth. So you cannot just say he doesn't want to give me head. Find out which one is the issue. Is it that your husband is proud? Is it that your husband is stubborn? Is it that he doesn't just like
or
it?
Or he doesn't even ask you for it.
Or he doesn't know yet.
He has a limiting belief. That, I mean, you know, a lot of us have inherited opinions. That we carried from our parents, our uncles. So I always say to couples, no, there's no husband and wife fight. That's the truth. The reality is that if you are single, I'm single. I grew up with Uncle Tai, grew up with Uncle Kende. I picked up Uncle Tai's values. You have picked up Uncle Kende's values. We get married. What really causes clash and friction are the values. So it's really Auntie Taye and Uncle Kende that are fighting. That's the truth. I always get couples to sit down to now, because you know emotional intelligence, you have to know yourself, that now choose yourself. This is who I've become. Is who I've become. Is it good enough for the marriage I would like to see? Those are questions that people don't want to ask. And until you ask those questions, Uncle Tai and Auntie Kende will be fighting in your home, and they will be away enjoying themselves, because everyone has inherited opinion, inherited values. So we have to be true to that conversation, to say, hey, where did I get this from? Where did I get this from? Those that had it, where did it lead them? Is this the best version of me? How do I improve that version?
If you're not patient with your partner, you will run ahead and just stamp them as wicked, unyielding, uninterested.
And it's always, I always laugh at, I mean, several couples cry when they have sessions with me. And man, how they jowl. Because like, they will do it. It's an exercise. You just list Okutai's values. List Auntie Kindy's values. List your own values. It's always plus or minus 8. So you realize that I'm actually, when I say someone violated my values, they're not your values. You inherited those values. Now you have to choose your values and be a better version of yourself, to be the marriage that both of you
are. Okay, so this person says, good evening to you all. I love it when you blow out those foul languages. You have a shower. After all, a spade is a spade. My question is this: how do I help my wife? She never had the urge to want to have sex. Can her being circumcised be the problem and made her to feel pain
whenever there's penetration, this has made this has made me become an addict of masturbation without her knowing. Please, what do we need
therapy? I can for free, because we need to first go back. Your therapy takes you back
to where you're coming from.
Where you're coming from, so you can learn and heal from it. Then we cannot do coaching to help you set goals going forward. The person needs therapy. Needs to. There's a conversation they've not had.
This one, there's even physical pain.
So she might also have vaginismus, probably.
They need to. Sometimes or there's just a connection.
So we don't, like we said earlier, a lot of people don't like to do the diagnosis. They don't like to do the assessment. So if it's medical, then let's get medical help. If it's psychological, then let's get a therapy and a life coach.
If she's feeling pain truly during penetration, then you need to see a doctor.
But we also don't know whether she reached orgasm before the penis entered. Okay. Because, I mean, that's another side.
Mm. This one, she doesn't enjoy sex.
She doesn't even want. It's painful. So it's asking me because of the circumcision. And then another thing is, when was she circumcised? Because there are people, I've learned of women who get circumcised during their third trimester.
Mm.
And so that pain is there, and they still do vaginal birth. Mm. And so these people hate sex forever.
So those
are the questions.
Tell the man is sometimes, you know, don't be in a hurry to find a way out. With marriages these days, everybody's looking for an escape.
A quick fix.
Oh, this, I'm thinking of leaving the marriage. Oh, this, just, I just go and masturbate. You know, what about thinking about the other person? This is somebody who is obviously in pain. Mm-hmm. Have you even thrown yourself into that pain? Have you even imagined how it must feel? You know, do you want to see that she gets over that pain? Or you are just focused on you and being satisfied, you know. Sometimes if you just allow yourself to walk in their shoes, and you will find that there's their option than the one you have taken.
So there's always an option. There is always an option. So on this one, we'll be taking a break. And when I come back, maybe, I'm going to come in for my last round before we get to ejaculate. Don't go anywhere. And no sex, I'm back.
Broadcasting live from the core of Africa, Central Radio.
Welcome back to the last round. And the last round of him being the brain. You know how I do it. We're still talking about being sexually intentional in 2020. What have you learned? What has changed about you? What are you going to change? Are you still on the second floor or the third floor? Or are you planning to go back to ground floor and then to the foundation and then to the root itself to find out what the problem is? Hey, I'm still reading messages, so don't worry. We'll get there. So this person says, I feel I'm just liking porn. Okay, I feel I'm just liking porn, no. Because the thing, no, they see. Okay, this is broken. So I'm trying to read, yeah. It's not easy. I will dress naked sometimes and sometimes wear some dress without pants. But he will say I'm indecent. This indecent, Isha. No be pastor. I have sex once in a week and I have to get him to touch my breast by force. And before he gets wet, when I start touching him, by now he can't get wet for me again. I'm not enjoying my sexual part of my marriage.
Which one is get wet?
So according to what she's saying, if she does not dress, if she tries to dress halfway, indecent dressing, he's not a pastor, she has sex once in a week, so she will have to touch him, fight, she said, okay, I have to get him to touch my breast by force before he gets wet. And when I start touching him, by now, he can't get wet. I'm sure probably she means get a hard on and drops and everything.
I mean, it's deeper than what you've written. Yeah.
There's more. There's a whole lot. Why? I'm sure it wasn't like that before. Mm-hmm. So what went wrong? What's the issue? At what point did this start happening? You know, where are both of you? Where are you emotionally and all these things? And well done, you did try. When I marry... Okay. Darkmo, you sent your message again and it's still not complete, right? I like putting my penis in between my wife's breasts. It's fine. Congrats. Moving it up and down, you will enjoy it more than entering the vagina. Yeah? I think guys should try it and enjoy it. But that, who
Who gave you that right?
My recipe.
You tell us that breast is sweeter than our own vagina, our own land of no return. Ngo.
This is opinion.
You like it, Sha, but don't come and be telling my husband to go and be doing that one. Yeah. Hi, Soul Spy. Let the people know you are talking from experience. From experience and not experience. Oh, shit. Thanks for your facts. Doing for me because AKA Adoni Bieni Lagi. Oh, I love you. So I learned that word on this set. Adoni Bieni Lagi. Some people can say Yoruba.
What's that?
As when the person wrote that word, I couldn't even read it. Because it was just so long. It was someone who called in and told me, madam, you don't know. The person is saying Adoni Bieni Lagi. It is weird. Okay, Adoni Bieni Lagi. He now corrected it. We go for you, well. Mommy, eh? Mommy, but okay, mommy, they are calling you. Mommy, I so much love your show. I'm not mommy, I'm a girl that have sex. Please tell me the days and time of your show weekly. My problem is that I can't go marathon more than one round at a time. I'm watching you live right now. He wants to do marathon more than one round.
So, I mean, he needs to have a conversation with the coach. Therapist, because
with the coach, I mean, he should ask himself, who is telling him that marathon is the way to go?
Well, that's part of it. So there's a limiting belief that needs to be unlearned, but he's not saying it.
A lot of men believe that they have to do marathon. I hear men say, I do the first one, my wife, 30 minutes, the second one I want to do, she's not in the mood. I'm like, maybe I'll pardon you.
It's still a limiting belief that is hindering the beauty of the sex that you should enjoy.
Amen. This person says, what is the health implication of licking a pussy? Okay, I'm coming. The program is good and beautiful, good for society and individuals. To the presenter, Moa Kolet, you are just wonderful at anchoring the program. Well done. Okay, thank you. More orgasm or more ejaculation, please. Okay, hello, I'm James. I'm into a relationship and my girlfriend only have sex when she's in the mood and gives it when I need it. I don't know if I'm to go out of the relationship.
Is the relationship all about sex?
Do you want to marry her or just want to be sleeping with her? That's the question. Because now you're saying if you should go out of the relationship, so if you want to dump her. So the next person you now start to date, what happens? You do the same thing. And when you get tired too, you dump the person. And then one day you get married, what happens? You walk out of your marriage.
Do you see the problem now? Do you see where this mindset is? So they get married and they suddenly expect that there's going to be balance and communication and understanding and the kind of marriage that they see, you know, from their couple mentors.
My wife do want sex more than I do and I don't have a problem with that. According to her, I'm good and equal to the task. But the issue is she always wants me to jump at her once she indicates interest. I have always told her that whoever among us initiates sex should be responsible for putting the other in the mood by engaging in, say, foreplay or something, but she doesn't get it. Please, what do I do?
They're too civil. They should be cordial. There should be. There are too many rules.
Like, why are you giving rules? Like, because rules you started, you have to climb, you have to do this.
And yeah, because if you look, let's try to look at the picture practically.
Probably he's not in the mood.
If he's sleeping, for instance, and the lady initiates sex, I mean, get him in the mood. It's part of you. You started it. But the problem is that sometimes some ladies initiate sex because, you know what, we've not had sex for 3 days, or I've not initiated sex for 1 week. Let me out of duty.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not really willing. They're not really willing to go all the way. They just want the guy to wake up and then do it.
Up.
And then click their own record that I initiated sex today.
You're meant to take it from there.
So all of and the guy is saying, hell, if you wake me up,
finish it. Yeah.
Do the job, let me feel you. But the girl is like, get up now, join.
Come on.
So you know you see.
But then at the end of the day, women, some women, or let me say most women, always usually love when the man, you know, is in charge.
Yeah.
Men love it too when we are in charge, but we don't have that energy to go.
Well, that's the point of it. That's the point of the conversation. Don't even, make it about I have the energy, I don't have the energy. You know, decide that.
I get what you're saying. So, biblically, contextually in the Bible, man is the initiator of the covenant. The woman is the responder of the covenant. So somehow, yeah, you've been chasing me from my father's, you chase me. keep the chase. But at some point also, I also encourage the wife to do the, I mean, take the initiative.
We will chase you to the hole. We will chase you. We will chase you so bad that nobody will chase, they will chase you back.
I mean, I think it's really very important for us to even begin to talk about this thing. Because it's a big issue.
Yes, sir.
Very big.
My wife never initiates sex. After a while, the guy gets there too. He will wait for you. Because we say men are chasing. But a man wants to be
desired. What if the woman is enjoying the fact that I'm initiating
it? A man also wants to be desired as well. So as much as, if you can't try it, as much as within your power, make it a due, try to put yourself out there. It will be awkward at
it's
first.
It's still about being intentional.
Yeah, it will be. It's okay if it's awkward. It's part of it. If it's awkward, say, I'm shy. It's okay. Be willing to put the topic on the table. Say, I'm shy. Cover your face. But continue. Let the guy laugh at you. Continue. Let him tell you.
I also feel that sex is a learning curve. We get better every day. We get better
as you do
every
it.
Day. We get.
I'm reading a book on dirty talks. Yeah, how to start and how to be good in dirty talks. Yeah, I read those kind of books. I read my Bible too. Yeah. So one of the things I learned is the woman said, for you to be a master in dirty talking, stand in front of a mirror. The first time you start, it will look stupid. Even you will laugh at it. Like you look at it like, am I normal? What are you wearing? How are you feeling? Does this mean anything to you? How do you say to yourself in the mirror? By the time you say that same thing, the 50th time, it becomes normal. So the same thing we said, you want to spank his bum, and you know it's not your kind of thing. Start small. It might look stupid. You might feel like, what have I done? Oh, I'm sorry. So a woman will tell me, my husband does not kiss me. He doesn't like kissing. And I tell her, okay, if he doesn't like kissing, no problem. Why don't you just go and peck him? Don't go straight to the lips. Leave the lips.
Just do
that's your end point. But don't start. If you start with the lips, you will break it because you know he doesn't like it. Start with kissing. Just peck him on the forehead. From forehead, you move to the side. After 1 month, you move to this side. After another 1 month, before you do it, another 6 months. But then you move to his lips. He won't feel like, because he's used to the mapping.
Yeah. Even in sex, that's what's called the law of progression. So you've got to do it one step after the other, so that gradually, both of you can take off together and land at the same time.
But people are not just patient.
They don't understand that the goal is intimacy, it's not sex.
My wife used to like sex before marriage, but now we stay 2 weeks or even more without sex. Is she okay? How can I help her? Me, I like sex, so I am Ishak. Okay, I can't pronounce your name, I'm sorry. This person says, please read this. It is obvious most people don't court before they marry. Please educate our parents not to make arranged marriages. They are obviously creating problems.
Even the ones that were not arranged, they are
they have more problems than the arranged ones. Because arranged ones know that they're not going anywhere.
There's some that were arranged that also worked. I mean, so
most of the marriage that were arranged in those days worked. Even if some were not really happy, but they had to stay.
But so it's never is one size fits all. But the reality is, like she said, the one that we see each other, there's conflict. The one they will now bring for you. It all depends on the people who are involved. It depends on how knowledgeable they are and how willing they are, willing to make it work.
Okay, so this person says, I love the program. My sex life has improved. We are seeing that chicken, that turkey. Christmas has not ended for me. New Year has not ended. We are still in the mood. So send that bag of rice. No, I don't want bag of rice.
Money.
That's my new love language. Send that money. That investment money. Seriously, just you know. But anyway, thank you. So obviously, you have a webinar coming up.
Yeah.
What's it all about?
It's called the Working Marriage Webinar. You know, so all these things.
Working.
The Working Marriage. W-O-R-K-I-N-G. The Working Marriage. Okay. You know, webinar. It's going to be about understanding the purpose of marriage, understanding what intentionality is about, and the difference between just working hard and doing all the wrong things, you know. And then, of course, between doing the right things and focusing on what it is that your marriage needs. Crafting a vision for your marriage, setting goals, you know, for the new year. I mean, this is a new decade. You want your marriage to be different. You don't want to be in the same place. I tell people that this is not the year to be unhappy and just be there. You know, so it's the working marriage webinar. The whole idea is to help you understand how to make your marriage work. What do you need to do? What shouldn't you do? What shouldn't you overdo? You know, because some people are doing things and they are trying too hard. They are trying too much. You are giving too much. You are pushing too hard and all you are getting is a pushback. You know, so the whole idea of it is learning how to make a marriage work, understanding the real nitty-gritty and the things that, you know, you require to get yourself on that intentional plane and find your happy place.
Okay, there you have it. So her Instagram page, my Instagram handle rather, would be on, it's already on the TV screen. So hey,
please
follow her. Yeah, follow her. If you see secret husband, don't follow the husband. It's the wife. It's the wife. Before you go and take it, you follow the husband later. But for this webinar, follow the wife. Yes, that's it.
To follow the secret place husband, and you, the wife, follow secret place wife. Because
see, if you love yourself, you don't do it that way. Both of you follow the two. Just be on the safe side.
Well, yeah.
You will learn. So, Mr. TJ, what would be your last word to the people?
Okay, so because of the passion that I have for my marriage to work, I would willing to take about 5 free sessions.
Yay!
So 5 free sessions. Do you know what that means? Me and Mouser, we are taking one. We are taking one. I'm not going to believe myself. I'm taking one.
So you could slide me to my DM at TJ Babajide, or you could call me on 080-5528-4337 just to notify me of your intention to want to go into relationship coaching.
Okay.
With me. Thank you for
so
having me.
So the page, his handle also is already on the TV screen. Please do follow him. Only 4 people left. I've taken one. So on this, I'm going to say, do have a sextastic night. You have a sexual night. Now you can finger the vagina, whatever it needs to be fingered. There are no rules, man. There are no rules for sex. There's no rule to where you can finger it up. So, hey, it's time to have sex. Get down. Communicate. Say, talk about it before you start to finger the wrong place. So, hey, I'm going to see you next week Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. Just undress and start it out. Love you all. Bye for now.